I think it is entirely possible that you can respect the Guardians, and specifically the Guardians front office, and how they do business, and how they've done business, and how competitive they've kept this team in the face of different circumstances than certainly the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Cubs. I'd say probably about 33% of baseball has to deal with. And in fairness, about 66, 67% of baseball has to deal on some level with the economic realities that the Guardians do, and most of them don't do it nearly as well as the Guardians do. You can respect that, right? You can respect the job that the Guardians have done, and you can still expect more. And, you know, Bruce talked about the financial component on this. And I just, listen, I understand the realities of baseball financial situation as much as anyone. I've talked about them. I've talked about how empathetic I am. I hate that baseball itself, with these overbearing fat cat owners who cannot share money amongst themselves to create a situation that is equitable financially. I hate that my team is caught in the crosshairs of that almost every year. I do. And so I'm empathetic to the Dolans. I'm empathetic to Chernetti. I'm empathetic to a locker room that deserves more than they get most years. And by the way, the front office deserves more than what they get every single year. At the same point, it is not my job to care in a season like this. This is not your 500 into June, and then you get hot, and you spend the next 100 games trying to figure out whether you're a really good team or whether you just had a good 20-game stretch. That's not what this is. And I continue to hear people on a pretty significant level talk about the Guardians as if they're some just plucky little upstart. And I understood that talk in 2022, where we came in with no expectations, meaning half the guys that were in the starting lineup in April were not the guys in the starting lineup in June when that team took off. Kwan was, but Kwan himself. I mean, nobody expected him to be a rookie of the year type candidate in 2022. I understood the, I can't believe they're doing this 2 years after trading Lindor and Clevinger and all these other guys. And I understood the way they were winning was very flukish, at least offensively, getting just enough to get by. I totally understood the cynicism in that exact environment. The fact that people have forgotten on a national level that 2 years ago this team was in the ALDS with a chance to go to the ALCS and you really just needed one damn hit is infuriating. And just every year that every year is treated equally, that it doesn't matter because, well, you're the little engine that couldn't, you should just be happy with it. That's not what this year is. So I feel sympathetic that Chernetti's arms, to some degree, are tied behind their back when it comes to financially. Sure, in the way that it makes everybody's job tougher. Yep, that's a damn shame. You also get paid to do that job. So I don't care. And specifically, every time we got to come around, and we just have to tiptoe around this. Listen, I feel like I appreciate the Dolans ownership more than anyone. I don't cater to Dolans' cheap talk very much because it's not interesting to me. All right? I'm empathetic that there might be forces onto why the family still owns the team that we don't know about. I also think that we completely skip over the fact that they've had the kind of continuity that has allowed this front office to win. And that right now we're not talking about some sort of weird expectations where these guys have to win a World Series or they get fired. So I don't think we highlight the good things the Dolans do. It is not my problem to care, though, that you don't have the money to run a damn team. Sell the team, all right? Because here's the thing. This is not like every other year. This isn't like, well, we're a really good team, and we might need a great hitter, but let's trade for Kenny Lofton and see if it works out. Because that team was good enough in and of itself to make that kind of move. All right, it's not like 2016 where you went all in and the moves just didn't work out the way you hoped because you were one game away from winning the World Series. But those moves are why you went where you were. Because the whole point that all these Ivy League a-holes, and I'm sorry, I'm so sick of the Ivy Leagueification of sports. We can't have any sort of emotions. We can't have any sort of love of our team because that is foolhardy. We have to all talk like we went, hey, we got to talk about value here. I care about winning. So listen, it's not my job to care if the Dolans want to spend. No, that's not fair. It's not my job to care and go, well, I mean, guys, what more can we ask of the Dolans? Well, here's what we can ask. You can ask more when more is shown to be possible. And for instance, if this team was 10 games above 500, maybe I'm not having as impassioned of a plea as I am right now. But you are 20 games above 500 after, by the way, coming through the worst stretch of baseball you've played since last year, and all of a sudden it looks like your team has found a pulse again, and the team is not pressing as much. Your chase rates do not look as abysmal against Philadelphia as they certainly did against Detroit previous that week. Your team is showing you, your team has consistently showed that even if you don't believe in them to put the money into this thing, to do a once-in-a-lifetime thing, put them on the table, and maybe change your legacy as a organization by seriously contending for a World Series. But it's not bad enough that we have to wonder, hey, are they actually going to do something of consequence? We have media members freely just eating the crap that is shelled to them. Wow, you guys should be happy because they're a good front office. I don't like the or else that's tied to that. I totally understand that 9 times out of 10, we should be looking at this and say, how realistic should we be? But you've got a team that just continues to win. And I'm not saying that they're a flawless team. Guys, I think Matt Boyd can help. I think either McKenzie or Logan Allen could hypothetically help you down the stretch. I'm not banking on it, but I don't think it's the worst idea to look at those three guys and maybe Cantillo and say, maybe you could figure rotation out. Cool. Then spend the resources elsewhere. Because you've got a middle of the lineup thing where you've got a bunch of dudes with 600 OPSs, and we're talking about closer to 600 than they are to 700. This idea that it's tough to make trades. Go into finance. You know what? If it's so tough to make trades, you can't make trades, find another profession. If how many times do I get to go and say, you know what? I really intended to host 5 hours of radio today, but gee golly willikers, it's tough to do that, so I only gave you 3.5 hours. No. You know, if here's why it's insulting. And I want to make a point. This is about this year. This isn't about last year, where I'll admit I was an emotional fan. I didn't like you selling off Savali and Bell. I didn't give a damn about the logic behind it. I didn't like the precedence that it set. I didn't like the message it sent to the locker room. I thought the front office and Tito abandoned the locker room with their pursuit last year at the deadline. But that was me being an emotional fan. This year, I think it's okay to be emotional. The roster has done every single thing you can imagine. They've played hurt, all right? They have come back. Stephen Kwan, they didn't miss a beat. Well, Stephen Kwan, the best leadoff hitter in the game, the guy that led off the All-Star game for the American League, missed a month. They've played hurt. They've overproduced. They've overcome everything. So it's not merely about, well, do this one for the fans. Although, you know what? Maybe do this one for the fans. Maybe go out there and maybe once sacrifice an ounce of value. Stop focusing on winning a damn trade and focus on trying to win the World Series. So, and I want to play this Chris Antonetti thing because this is at the heart of everything. I'm going to tell you right now, your problem is not that you're a well-run organization. It's that when fans look at a chance to do the thing that nobody's seen in 77 years, they get answers like this about getting ready for the damn trade deadline.
I would say we're actively engaged, exploring opportunities to try to improve the team. It's hard to predict what will come of that. I think it is important to remember, and I think I've shared this with you before, no matter what happens at the trade deadline, it's important to remember that the group of guys in that clubhouse are the ones that have played and put us in the position to win the amount of games that we have. And our success in the second half is going to continue to be determined by that group of guys. And again, if we can find opportunities to complement it, great. But I think it's important to remember that, you know, again, the success of our season will be dependent upon the way that group of players continues to play and perform and the way we support them to help them do that.
I don't even disagree with some of what he's saying. I don't. Yep. The guys that brought you here are probably going to be the guys that determine whether you get bounced out in the first round, whether you win the AL Central, whether you're a wild card team, or whether you win the World Series. But this consistent idea of, well, we're actively engaged, nobody cares. And if you dare come out with this trash nonsense about, well, we tried, 0 points for that. Cleveland, here's the thing. Do I think that there are fans who just nothing will matter until this Guardians team wins a World Series? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's just, we've gotten to a point where you haven't won one in 77 years. You know what most people in this town, Cleveland's a pretty reasonable town. Cleveland has afforded this organization a lot of leeway when it comes to how they treat players, moving on from players whom they love for prospects because of things like value and controllable years and all this other garbage that shouldn't matter to fans. But here's the thing. Don't give me, we're going to try. Go out and do it. I don't care how much you love your prospects. I don't care whether the Dolans want to okay. If you can't afford it, get out of the business. Because in a blue-collar town, in a blue-collar area, it is rich as hell to say, hey, we the team, we the millionaires, billionaires, whatever, that own this team, we just can't find a way to make this work when half of this region works every single day, works their ass off just to be able to live pay to pay. It doesn't play. Most years, okay, I get it, man. I don't even know they're that good. They're 20 games above 500. The locker room has shown you that they are worth it. Don't give me you tried. Go give me a player of substance. Don't give me, and thank God this didn't happen, don't give me Tommy Pham and act like you just traded for Pete Alonso. 216-474-0092. Most years, this is fine. But this year, you can respect the Guardians and still expect more. And I got to be honest with you, it started today. It started today on this very station, my problem with the discourse and the narratives around the Cleveland Guardians. Chris Antonetti with the Ivy League spiel of the cliche of the week here, or of the month last week, talking about the trade conditions, because that's what we care about in sports, is I really care about the market and whether things are affordable. It's not like most modern Americans have had to deal with anything like inflation or anything price like that, and problems like that with pricing recently. You know, I'd like to buy this this bottle of milk here for my family to be able to just go ahead and feed themselves and nourish themselves. We need nutrients and all that, but I mean, market conditions say this thing's for $4 right now, and I will not pay a buck over $2.88 for a 2% gallon of milk. It's market conditions. Hey, little Johnny. I know you were hoping for some sort of protein. Here's some GMO for you because the market conditions did not allow me to buy pork this week. Sorry, I'm a staunch, very respectable, and not just respected. I'm known for my ability to acquire things with value, and if not, we just won't eat. Keep the Cleveland sports scene on in the background at work or wherever you are. Around your house, tell your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. Listen, I do understand that that is a valid line of discourse in an organization. I really do. I don't know why, whether it's Chris Antonetti, Chernoff, or anybody, thinks that's something you should say to your fans. Winning a World Series is really hard. When I say, go put yourself in a position to win World Series, I'm not saying there's any move out there specifically that I can say that's the one that's going to win you the World Series. You trade. I don't think they're trading Pete Alonso. You trade for Pete Alonso, who's got 57 games left on his contract. That doesn't guarantee you a damn thing, right? The conditions that factor into winning a World Series are really, really tough because you don't control all of them. Health is a big part of it, right? It is. What kind of ball you're playing, how those people that you trade for fit into your clubhouse. These are three of probably 20 things that matter. To the right, oh, by the way, what's the rest of the picture look like?
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Boston Celtics got the all-time break after break after break in the NBA Finals. I'm pretty certain the Boston Celtics were winning the Finals this year, even if they didn't get no Jimmy Butler, half a series without Donovan Mitchell, no Jared Allen, Tyrese Halliburton hurt, no Mathurin, and then go up against probably the easiest team to beat for them because the Mavericks went to the Finals basically being a cheap man's version of what the Celtics had done really well all season long. But it helped. Like, if you're Boston, you can't plan on those circumstances help. But Boston did everything they could to, whether it was the Porzingis trade, whether it was moves made at the deadline, like, they did everything they could to put themselves in the position to win a championship this year. That is exactly what I want to see from the Guardians. You traded for Andrew Miller. It didn't lead to a World Series victory, but it got you as close as you possibly could. You cannot pick apart the way the Dolans and Chernetti did that deadline. It was as flawless. Oh, and by the way, if John Lucroy actually accepts that trade, maybe that's the one player missing. That's not their fault he said no to a trade to you. That's not you tried. That is you accomplished. I don't want I tried. And I think, it bugged the crap out of me this morning, just what the morning show had to say, the Morning Boys had to say about the deadline, because honestly, I felt like the narratives that I was hearing were entirely based off of people that worked for the Guardians. And I want to be clear, like, I'm giving the Guardians a chance to do this. I'm not trying to hammer them preemptively. I'm saying that if you're going into a deadline for a once in a decade kind of shot team, which is what this team is, and the team has done everything that they should do. How hard they've played, they play the right way. They clearly have brought more people out of the ballpark. They've played to win from the very jump start of the season. Even if you can look Guardians fans in the face and still feed them the same line of garbage, how can you do that to those 26 dudes? That their hard work, their sacrifice has to mean something. I'm giving them the chance to make the move, though. I'm just telling you what's coming if you dare say we tried. If you dare say, well, I just, you know, it was a tough trade market. Yeah, that no. I want to hear we're making moves to try and win a World Series, to put them in the best position to win a World Series. And one of the things, and I don't know what's in this clip we're about to play, but I heard Ken and Lima, and guys, if I'm paraphrasing you incorrectly, please feel free to call in. But I certainly heard Lima kind of sneer at the idea of fans who keep talking about we haven't won a World Series in 77 years, as if those fans are being ridiculous. Some years we are with that. Like last year, I didn't necessarily think you should buy, but I mean, why are we selling when the value for specifically Josh Bell is a middle infielder who's not hit in baseball, still is not hit in baseball. That one, well, hey, we saved $8 million. Why do I care about saving $8 million? By the way, the Marlins did put Bell on waiver, so I'll eat that one. But like, why is anybody... If a fan says, specific to this year, man, this team has a chance to end the drought. What are we doing? Why aren't we going for it? If a response to any media member is, oh, the World Series, we're going to talk about haven't won a World Series. And yes, That's a valid frustration for fans. We've come incredibly close. And while we're in the business of picking fights with the morning show, here was Lima talking about he's not sure if there are any big moves for the Guardians coming.
Does it feel like you can take it all with this club?
I'll tell you why. I think so. I absolutely think so.
Then maybe you should be pounding the table for big moves, for aggressiveness.
Which would be what? I mean, I just keep hearing Vlad, but what else? Who else is out there? What are the big names? We've been told for a month and a half that the big names really aren't going to be on the move when it comes to pitching. Like, it's just not.
Yeah.
It's the market is terrible. I mean, I saw Jeff Passan say the other day, it's terrible. So the fans are like, give us the huge move. And people that are experts in baseball are like, there are no big moves there. So are you just screaming into the clouds? If you can't tell me what the big swing would be, then there is no big swing. I think it's just right now it sounds like complaining to complain. Like, we always want all our teams to we say all in all the time. We say it with the Browns constantly. We've said it with the Cavs constantly. But it means a little different. It's a very different thing in baseball.
Yeah, what it means in baseball is you get somebody who can make a difference in October. So since Lima couldn't quantify what that would be, and I hear the point of, well, big names, big names, big names. There's a difference between big names and big moves. Not every big move is going to, like, I guarantee you, the casual fan doesn't know who the hell Brent Rooker is out of Oakland. He would instantly be your second or third best hitter, power hitter that you have in this lineup. Brent Rooker would be a move of consequence. Randy Arozarena has been the face of Tampa Bay postseason baseball since he got there in 2021. Randy Arozarena, who went to Seattle this weekend, that would have been a consequential move. But to conflate, well, there aren't big names out there. Big names, I don't think big names is synonymous with actual significant trades. Garrett Crochet is having his first big season in baseball. Garrett Crochet might not be a big name, a household name yet. He will be if he keeps pitching like this in the next 4 years. And when people say, well, no, none of those guys are going to be available, that means the price on them is sky high. I guarantee you, if you called up Chicago and gave him your three best prospects right now, Garrett Crochet would be a Cleveland Guardian. Toronto is facing a rebuild. If you called for Bo Bichette or Vlad Guerrero Jr. and say, you know, here's Manzardo, here's Ralphie Velasquez, Daniel Espino, and Alex Clemmie, I guarantee you Vlad Guerrero Jr. would be a Cleveland Guardian. And I got to say, I thought Ken fought the good fight today. But if the Guardians don't make a move of consequence, Tommy Pham would not have been a move of consequence. A middle reliever who won't work in high leverage situations is not a move of consequence. If the Guardians don't make moves or a move of consequence, they're telling me and the clubhouse they don't think that this team can win a World Series. And whether that's a valid line of thinking or not, why the hell are we doing the heavy work for them? I've said all along, I expect them to make a move of consequence or more. And I'm going to try not to hammer the hell out of them until they don't make a move. Well, here's the thing. We are roughly 24 hours, 27 hours away from the MLB trade deadline. And the Yankees have made a move of consequence, trading for Jazz Chisholm. The Orioles have made moves of consequence, starting with the Zach Eflin move, which I think the Guardians should have been on, considering he's a controllable pitcher. And I cannot believe that that's all the Rays got for that guy. The Arozarena stuff, a little rich for my blood. I can agree with that. The Jason Adam deal, that was a little rich for my blood. How do you look at what the Rays got for Eflin and say, oh yeah, we couldn't do that? And the common rebuttal is, well, they have to want your prospects too. Yes, but the idea that nobody in baseball wants any of your prospects seems a little far-fetched when you have, depending on some different rankings, four guys in the top 100 or as many as seven guys in the top 100 in baseball in terms of prospects. I cannot fathom coming out and saying, I'm not sure if there's any big moves to be made out there. Does that mean you just don't know their names? Or does that mean that fans don't know their names? That also doesn't mean that those moves aren't consequential, starting with a name like Brent Rooker, starting with Vlad Guerrero Jr., starting with Bo Bichette, going to, if Pete Alonso's available, whether or not, going to, I don't know, half these guys. I'm just going down a list here. And some of these guys, Jack Flaherty, that's a consequential name. Yandy Diaz, now that Tito's gone, Yandy Diaz is a consequential. Christian Walker of the Diamondbacks is a consequential move. I'm not going to sell you Kikuchi. I can't do that to you. Cody Bellinger is a significant move. Rooker. Like, these are all significant. Ryan McMahon. These are all significant moves. Luis Rengifo. All significant moves. Whether or not we think it's a big enough name where everybody unanimously is going to say they did it.